Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. Rob, Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
Doing well. Kind of coming down with something, I think.
Oh, no. I got startled by the Zoom recording. You're now recording. I got startled this time.
Well, I hit record and it goes, record to your computer or record to the... I was like, no, just start recording. I don't care where it goes. Just do this.
And just so start.
I think I startled.
Because you're going to spook Rob. We don't want that. We don't want to spook Rob because he's been spooked plenty over the last 24 hours or so. We're going to talk about blood and guts.
Okay.
We want to talk about spooky. We want to talk about gross. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But Jeff, I'm going to let you go ahead and choose what we talk about first on this. But these are the options, okay? These are the options. You get to pick one of these options and nothing off the menu. Do not be going in here In-N-Out style, okay?
Chicken tenders, please.
I will
off
ban
the kids
you.
Menu. Yes.
I will ban you. Okay.
All right.
Hey, we can talk about John Cena winning a championship in his final month.
Okay.
We can talk about the War Games matches being set up in the same night and what we're going to see. We can talk about those aforementioned Blood and Guts matches. Now, if we choose Blood and Guts, we're talking both of them, which effectively is the entire Dynamite episode. Or we can talk about what seems to be a story. Well, we could talk about Ric Flair not appearing on screen at AEW Dynamite, even though he was advertised to. Or the final story here is we can talk about Nixon Newell and Miranda Ali's getting basically kicked out of AEW or kicking themselves out of AEW, a story that has taken off a little bit more than I thought it would have this week, which also goes to show that maybe, just maybe, as we head into November, it's been a little bit of a slow news week in the world of outside on-screen pro wrestling. Of those options, Jeff, what are we kicking off with here on Shake Them Ropes?
I think because I had a nice conversation last night about it, I think the Nixon Newell Miranda Alizé issue, I think I had a bit of a, I wouldn't say contrarian take, but as a, let's put it this way, a performer who's up there in years, I had a different view.
Okay, well, before you get to that view, you say Alizé, I say Elise. We'll never know who's right. We'll never know. Explain in the shortest of detail for those listening a little bit about what you're going to get into.
Okay.
Nixon Newell, Miranda Alizé, or Elise, as it's pronounced correctly.
However.
They had the on-screen kind of debut with AEW.
Yes.
They had the backstage moment setting up this potential match, or at least potential feuds here as they go into Dynamite and Collision. But this was going to be their first kind of regular match, if you will, on Collision. And once they were going through what the match was going to be, they decided, after all, not to. And some might say it wasn't even going to be regular based on what they were going to actually do on this night. They might not have been coming in as regulars anyway. But Alizé, Newell, they walk out of AEW Collision. They're saying it was somewhat amicable, that they said their piece and everyone decided that it wasn't to be. And they left. Others are saying that, no, they kind of dictated terms and they left, leaving AEW to have to find last minute replacements. But long story short, they didn't appear in AEW. They haven't appeared since. They've been giving their side of the story. Go ahead. And what is your side of the story?
Well, you have a crucial part of this story wrong, though.
Oh.
Because.
Impossible.
Yes. Well, they filmed that vignette on Collision, setting up the match with Tenara Conti and Anna Jay.
Yes.
But they did a match last week or 2 weeks ago against Maria Shafir and Megan Bain, and then they were called back to do the aforementioned match.
That's right.
Versus Tenara Conti and Anna Jay. And then they were told 3 minutes. And they said, well, we kind of wanted to do something a little bit longer. And said, no thanks, we're leaving.
And 3 minutes and losing. They were going to lose.
They're
going to
lose.
Which, according to them, is not why they had walked out of Collision. They walked out because it was only going to be 3 minutes, and it was effectively a squash match. Yes. With them losing.
And they replaced them with two indie workers, Maya World and Hyann, who, you know, were gracious to do it. But a lot of people in the commentariat are saying, you know what, this was an opportunity for you, and you were going to be on television, and you shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth, et cetera, et cetera. The first match was the opportunity. The second match to me is, hey, we'd like to sign you to the glass ceiling of Ring of Honor or what, because they weren't going to be on Dynamite. They weren't going to be regulars. They were going to be a Collision act or whatever. There are 20 other women on this AEW roster that could have done this gig, that are signed, that could have done it. And that's the part where I think people are kind of missing things. The value in Nixon Newell and Miranda Elise, or Alizé, or however you would like to pronounce it, is that they don't mean anything to this company. And right. So they didn't have to ruin any existing talent or deal with any of those fallouts for it. The plan was probably a 3 minute match all along, to be honest with you. It wasn't just one of those, to both teams. And this, they are the constant, and both these teams ran through them like butter. And maybe as a consolation prize, they get a Ring of Honor contract and can sit in catering for Collision tapings with Diamante and Layla Gray and all those other people. But it's one of those things where, for the two indie workers who actually did this, it's an opportunity. You're in the business 3 years. Or you're in your early 20s. Yeah, I want to get on TV. I've never been signed before. Both of these other women have been in the business for 13 years. And there's a lot of these women. Shazza McKenzie, Marty Bell, Allison Kay. You know, that generation of Shimmer, Shine, all these other workers. Is this really an opportunity? Or is this... Like, I'm not even judging, you know, if they knew they were coming in for a 3 minute squash and then they said no after they got there and said this doesn't work for me, then yeah, you're going back on your word and it stinks. But this is also a little bit like the criticism of them is mostly AEW tribalists, who if they did this to Hunter or Sean on an NXT taping or something, yeah, you show that big company that you're independent and whatever. Because this is Tony Khan and the quote-unquote good company, they're getting a lot more crap than I think they would otherwise. But this is also taking advantage of their position as unemployed a little bit. And oddly enough, I may not be speaking with this with the nuance I did on the Dynamite show last night. This might also help their marketing in some ways, because people are going to pay money to boo them on the indies for walking out of AEW. I mean, it could help them a little. Now, look, I'm not saying, oh, man, they could have gotten a job. But, Rob, you've been a working person for a number of years. I've been a working person for a number of years. If you got offered an entry-level position when you had senior level experience, would you just go, that's an opportunity? Or would you go, no, I'm going to look for something a little bit more in my pay range kind of a thing?
I don't know. If it was only 3 minutes of work I had to do, possibly.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's very, very true.
It's very possible I would say yes. Now, another loop before this, though, is the news coming out of this. Now everyone wants to pay attention to Nixon Newell, right? The former Tegan Knox in WWE, such as it was, because unfortunately she had been injured much of her run. She didn't get a lot of TV time anywhere, even in NXT. She had been, according to some, lamenting on the lack of bookings that she should be receiving as a former WWE talent, the lack of looks at an AEW or a TNA. So part of this isn't just like, are you really blaming her for not wanting to come in, lose a second match, have no value in a promotion, maybe get on Ring of Honor TV? I mean, if your end goal is to get bookings and be on TV, AEW seems like a great place to sign, because they sign everybody and they put everyone on TV, even if you shouldn't be on TV yet. Or if there's, even if there's no story for you, guess what? You're still going to find your way on TV. AEW is not the company that often holds people out because of a lack of story, even though that's the reason that they may use some.
Have you looked at their women's roster lately and seen the number of people that haven't been on TV lately?
It ain't because of lack of story. There's other reasons for most of them. And if you want to throw out Britt Baker out there, it's not because they don't have a story for Britt Baker.
Not Britt, but like Nyla Rose, Thunder Rosa.
Neither of those cases are because of a lack of story.
Emi Sakura.
No, I wish they would take some people off. And this is men and women. I wish they would take some people off TV because they don't have a lack of, they don't have a story for them.
But I get that too. And I completely, like, I'm with you on that. Like, there are ways to carry yourself, and I personally would not carry myself this way. If I said, hey, I'm coming in to do work for you guys, and you tell me, yeah, we're going to make you lose in three, I'm going to do that. I get that. But I also get the, all right, both these women have been performers for 13 years, and they're walking into locker rooms where they know most of these people.
Do they still want to be?
You need to prove yourself, and there's a little tinge of...
You do! But you do.
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, you ain't coming in. You have no value to AEW right now. You have no value to WWE right now. You have no value to TNA right now. You don't have value apparently on the indies either, because you're not getting all the bookings that you think you should have. Nixon Newell doesn't have any name value. And go back to the Shimmer ages and the people who had seen him, you know, on the indies. Nixon Newell on your independent show does not sell tickets.
But of what value is it if you're on TV and losing in 3 minutes and then you get booked on an indie show?
Well, in theory, you lose in 3 minutes, and then in 2 years, you're main eventing the women's division in AEW because you stuck with it.
She says she's only has 1 year left, and she wants to do fun things. So it's like, okay.
Well, that's part of the reason why, do what you're going
to
do.
We also have to keep something else in the back of our mind a little bit about Tegan Knox. Tegan Knox, I think, was slated, if I'm correct, to be either final four or final two of one of those Mae Young Classics. And then got hurt. Okay. They had plans for her, and they never came to fruition because of these injuries. Yeah, yes. And it's one of these things where it's like, I don't know. There's a little, I mean, if I went to my improv stuff, it's kind of like when Upright Citizens Brigade moved out to L.A., and a bunch of people from our theater went over there because the person who was picking who was a good performer and who wasn't was someone who was like a waitress at our theater. And then it's like, hey, you know what? Can I try out for a team here? Oh, well, you need to go through our training system first. And it's like, yeah, but I've been doing this for 15 years. I know how to do a herald. You know, there's a little territorialness in here that you have to kind of admit to. But this is all, you know, hey, if Tony Khan goes this second time, yeah, we'd like to have you in Ring of Honor or whatever. It's all fixed, but they'd already been on once. If you're on twice and getting squashed and there's no promise, there's just the carrot. Ooh, you know, if you keep your mouth shut, we beat you quickly. We might sign you to our streaming only and not use you until it's time for like the women's pure tournament or whatever.
Sure. Well, that may have been the case, but if that's all that's going to happen anyway, even if you go through this booking, is, hey, you got paid for that match and there might be more.
Yes.
It's a business after all, right? If you had to guess, so this is according to Cage Match, how many matches Miranda Alizé has in the year 2025?
It's November now. Well, it's cage match. Is this just TV matches or is this everywhere?
This is cage match should be everywhere.
Okay. By the way you said it, it's not many. So I'm going to say 6.
You're close. 7.
Okay.
7 matches all year long. So maybe it's both of those cases. Maybe
I am fully on board with this could be an attitude problem on their part. I'm just saying people were out over their skis on the criticism of, oh, she's a bad person for doing this. It's like, oh,
don't say they're bad. And they're just, and they have their own reasons. We'll never know maybe the full entirety of those reasons. And we don't have to bash them. If they don't want to work, they don't have to work. But
yeah,
if they don't want to,
that's my point. If they don't bash them, but also I don't think she's helping her. We're going on Twitch to explain ourselves. It's like, no, if you're explaining,
if they want to be streamers, they can be streamers. That's perfectly fine. But if you wanted to be pro wrestlers on TV, doing this is not going to help that
cause. I agree with that in many ways. It was just one of these things where there wasn't a lot of it was just like, how dare you take Tony Khan's gift and throw it in his face. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? Some of you guys are way out over your skis. Like I even think like some of the workers, like Dustin Rhodes went on and it's like, you go to every TV taping and you give your best at every point. Somebody wrote back with the 7 character from TNA that he did, where he was just kind of out there doing a by the numbers shtick and like, oh yeah, you weren't exactly professional all the time either. And I was just like, okay, you know, I understand everybody's point here. I'm just like, I just thought the vitriol towards them was so
sure
over the top. But I think it would be your turn to pick where we go next.
Three of Alizé's matches this year, 3 of the 7 have been singles matches against Nixon Newell too.
Of course. Yeah. So. They're a couple, matches. So you book them as a couple, and they work each other.
Yes. Yeah. Long story short is if one of them is making the decision, I'm wondering if that's Nixon, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think she's. I mean, and she's also the one with the most connections because Miranda's never been signed anywhere.
Yes. So fewer connections now, one might say. let's talk about this this week in WWE TV heading into. We still got 2 weeks now before Survivor Series, but we finally have a couple of matches for them. Mm-hmm. WWE on Raw introduced the War Games matches for both the men's and women's divisions. Those are the 2 matches so far on the slate. Wikipedia is funny, and I think a lot of fans out there are funny because they think these might be 5-on-5 matches. So it's like we still have some people to be put in both of these matches, where it seems clear that it's going to be probably 4-on-4 this year. And we have our 4 for the women's match. We have 3 of the 4 for each team in the men's match. Let's go into specifically from this week in TV, the War Games matches that are coming up. Would you like to start with the women's or men's?
Start with the women's because I think it's the most interesting of them, and
it was the main event of Raw, and honestly they're a lot more heated going on with I mean I'm not watching a ton of SmackDown these days, so I don't know how involved Nia Jax and Lash Legend have been, so that those two kind of seemed a little shoehorned into this to me, but everyone else has a feud that's been going back for over a year.
That actually started on SmackDown because Lash Legend came out and choked out Alexa Bliss. Yeah.
I'm not unhappy about them being included in this. It just seemed for me to come out of nowhere.
I was surprised. I got to be honest with you. And also just to give some love to the Kabuki Warriors, they did a doctor sketch on SmackDown after they were attacked. And Asuka was, you know, playing kind of Joker doctor and then blasted the mist in their faces. And was so happy dancing around, and then there's Kairi in the nurse's outfit, and Asuka has to pull down the mask to let you know, yes, that's Kairi, the thing.
It's Kairi.
I howled, but I was shocked that this wasn't Kabuki Warriors and Judgment Day versus Charlotte and Alexa, and then Bayley and Lyra, and I wouldn't be completely surprised given that AEW just did 6-on-6 that this is 6-on-6.
Interesting. I think we're keeping it the 4-on-4.
I do too, but I yeah.
You may have, you're going to have likely some other matches on that show and 5-on-5. I mean, you add even just going 5-on-5, you're adding a minimum of 10 minutes to the match, right? If math is done well.
Four.
So,
because the 5-minute period is only the first one. That's 2 after that, I believe.
2 minutes? Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then you're adding a minimum of 4 minutes, which might as well be 10. for Rob being right's sake.
With entrances, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, with the walk down to the ring and the slow, all that good stuff. But I think we got our 4 just because everyone was involved in that segment. I don't see these teams going out to recruit more. Definitely not. I don't see 6-on-6 happening.
No.
But yeah, the 4-on-4 seems to stick. And that way you're not shoehorning in people. We're already, for the men's match, probably going to get either John Cena or Roman Reigns added for CM Punk's team. And it's looking like it's going to be Roman, right? Yeah. And we're going to get Brock Lesnar, likely, for Paul Heyman's team.
Actually, I think that's how they get Cena into the men's, is they make Brock the guy there, and then he can get his revenge in war games.
To me, now that John Cena is the Intercontinental Champion, I think he's defending that title against an up-and-comer or somebody at Survivor Series, because he's going to be there. And yes, he may very well be in that main event War Games match, but I do see him just kind of sticking to the Intercontinental Champion kind of thing here at this point and not going back in with Brock Lesnar. Does that make the Brock Lesnar John Cena match at WrestlePalooza make even less sense? Probably.
Yeah.
But I still go back to that WrestlePalooza. It's just John Cena versus Brock Lesnar was a match to sell the first WrestlePalooza, to sell the first event on ESPN. They did not care what was going to happen afterwards. It was strictly a one-off to sell that show. So I don't see them going back into the ring together again. Between now and John Cena's retirement. But yes, the women's match is going to be Lash Legend Nia Jax, as well as the Kabuki Warriors going up against Charlotte, Alexa, Rhea Ripley, and Io Sky. And we have new tag team champions coming out of this. The main event on Raw was Kabuki Warriors winning the women's tag team titles, and then the schmoz at the end to get this match going up there. New tag team champions. And honestly, this is Asuka returning to the top of the mountain in the WWE women's division. There is no one above her right now, except for Rhea maybe, but no one on the heel side for sure.
Oh, no one on the heel side. And that also includes Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
I always watch those vignettes and I go, how can you be a writer for Asuka? Because you just say, go do your thing. Just go do your thing. And it's awesome. It's always awesome. I like the women's tag champion as a title. Yeah. And I think it's best on them. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are the best team right now. As much as I like... Oh God, I forgot their name. Judgment Day. I do like them as a team, but I'm kind of interested because you have Nia and Lash who aren't going to climb that cage. They are there to be bases to catch. You know, Io's going to do the thing with the trash can from the top of the cage. She always does that. Mm-hmm. I assume this means Rhea or Charlotte are going to the top to do something as well.
I could see Charlotte going up there. I mean, you're going to have some good moves. And this is not going to be a match that you're wanting to, if you're a WWE fan, right? This is going to be a match that you're going to want to see. Very well could steal the show, as they have in the past with yes. War Games matches. So this could be a good one. The question now that I have comes out of Charlotte and Alexa. So they were friends because they were they're not friends, right? They were tag team partners. They were great as tag team partners. Does Charlotte after this, or maybe while this match is happening, decide, you know what, it's time for me to be me again and claim what's mine? And that's not the women's tag team titles. Could this be the end of Alexa and Charlotte?
I think after the match, possibly, but that men's match is going to be so overwrought with Uso drama that I don't think you want to bog this one down with a heel turn in the midst of it.
You see a pretty straightforward, I can see a pretty straightforward finish in the women's match, because I don't think we're going to get one in the men's this time around.
No, the men's
ones.
Okay,
so if we see a pretty.
I'm dreading this men's ones, because it's going to be all about Jimmy and Jay. And if Roman's in there too, it's just like, oh God, this whole drama again that they've never really.
It's well, like we may not even have Jimmy in it.
Someone wrote me in and said, do you think a three-way at Mania between the two Usos and Roman, with Jimmy going over Roman, would be good? I go, why would you ever put Jimmy over anybody?
Not only would that not be good, it's not going to happen, so we don't have to really worry about that, do we? I don't think we have to worry about that one, guys. But yeah, the women's match is what I think it is set. We have a couple of weeks to where we can still add one or two to each team. But I believe that is going to be set as a 4-on-4 Survivor Series War Games match. We go to the men's. We had just a backstage announcement that this match was going to happen. William Regal came out, did his deal. War Games, CM Punk, Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, and possibly more additions against the vision of Logan Paul and Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. So right now, 3-on-3, who will be added? Will it be Brock, Roman? Will John Cena get in the mix there? Will anyone else? LA Knight get in there? Will LA Knight get in there for the team you may not be thinking of? Will Austin Theory somehow return out of nowhere and get involved in this? Because that name has been flung out there by reporters such as they are. So, interesting. I like that this is going to be a big match main event. It's going to bring people in, I think, who may have been second guessing. Do they want to pay $250 to sit in the cheap seats at Petco Park? But this is a big one. It's not necessarily for anything. We have both War Games matches that are just kind of grudges, some that just started, some that have been going on for a little bit here, which is kind of my negativity coming out of AEW Blood and Guts is that no one really won anything for getting in there. It continues to just be, okay, a bunch of you are fighting. Let's just fight in a cage. And it may not even be the end of the road, right? Because we've seen Jon Moxley in death matches and cage matches where it didn't actually end anything. They just kept on going. What will come out of the men's war game match? And you said you were dreading it. Why would you be dreading it? Elaborate.
I had forgotten the teams because I had forgotten Cody was in it.
Cody's in it. That's what I was saying. Jimmy Uso is not in this match.
I was
as
thinking
of right
Jimmy
now.
Uso. And, oh, it feels like that he's going to be the fourth.
Well, he could be the fourth, and you could still have Roman, and I guess you could put Drew McIntyre in there since Cody Rhodes is in for the men.
Yeah, but they're gonna if they put Jimmy in, it's gonna be the can they rely on him. Because he's not as big a star as these other three. And
is this the end of the road for possibly Jay? Is it, can you rely on Jimmy going in? Can you rely on how's Roman going to do with the Usos in there? Especially Jimmy now, you know, really trying to push his top of the mountain kind of persona. Is it the possibility that we do get that Jey Uso heel turn that many people expected or thought could be possible at Saturday night's main event?
I'm here for the Logan Paul spot. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy. And
you talked about wondering who's going to jump off the cage. Logan Paul might just start the match on the cage.
he may ask to put the roof on top and say, hey, I want to do the Foley bump.
You know what should come back? You know what should come back even if it's just for one time? The Ready to Rumble triple cage. Just once. Just
Tower
one time.
Doom. Ready to rumble? Sure.
I feel like it would be most likely to happen in AEW than it would in WWE or TNA or anything.
Yes,
but,
yes.
The triple cage needs to make a return.
That might be an NXT, because NXT loves to take the old gimmicks and put them back on TV.
I don't know if it would fit in the Performance Center, but yeah, maybe if they go somewhere for one of these tables. They're coming to Chicago here, I think, next week. They're going to be in my neck of the woods at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. So NXT is starting to do or continuing to do some more shows on the road outside of Florida. No NXT presentation so far. I kind of think that we had John Cena announce the Saturday night main event gimmick. It's going to be John Cena versus the winner of the Last Time Is Now tournament, but it's also going to be WWE versus NXT in a match or two, or maybe the entire series of matches on the show are WWE versus NXT. What do you think about this caveat for Saturday night's main event, NXT getting the rub? And could we potentially see John Cena defend the Intercontinental Championship at Survivor Series against an NXT member to promote this show that will end up happening just 2 weeks after Survivor Series?
It's good marketing. I like it, especially because NXT is still on Peacock in terms of their PLEs.
Yeah.
My caveat is always on these things. They never give the junior company or the weaker company in this the big win that they need. It's a banana peel or somebody interferes and you're supposed to say, oh my God, you got the win. But Javon Evans needs a big win, and I'd love it on this show. I'd love it if it was him beating
John Cena.
Well, that's not going to be the last. This is the last match. It can't be John Cena.
Right.
Oh, although I'd love that if that was the Intercontinental.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if Javon Evans gets on the show if he doesn't win the Last Time Is Now tournament. But maybe, possibly,
beat
I guess.
Randy Orton. He should beat Randy Orton on Saturday night's main event to get his win back.
Okay. Yeah, we could see Javon Evans. We could see Oba Femi up there. We can finally see Trick Williams against a big name. I don't know what you do it for. Maybe you have another championship in WWE defended on the show against an NXT person. Maybe you have a couple championships defended against someone. Maybe you have Ilya defend his United States Championship. I would say if it was Sami Zayn losing the US title on the show to an NXT star may have been like a cool moment, but I don't see Ilya losing it to an NXT star. I don't know exactly what title would be quote unquote available for an NXT person to win and kind of make their main roster debut. But maybe you have an NXT championship defended. Maybe you have Ricky Saints on the show defending the NXT championship against someone in WWE and he gets the big win. That someone might just be like a Rusev or something, you know, it's the big win, even though it may not necessarily be against a big opponent. It's an interesting thing to make Saturday night's main event different because it's been, even though you've had big names on the show, it's been kind of stale lately ever since probably Goldberg's last match.
Let me throw this out in the Cena tournament. There's somebody who's an unknown who doesn't work there, quote unquote, etc. Now, to me, it could be one of two people. Cardona seems to be the odds-on favorite, possibly coming out as his Zack Ryder character.
I think Zack or Matt Cardona is the match on Monday at MSG.
Can I give you another name and tell me what you think?
Sure.
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be a fun one. We've heard his name on TV from John Cena. We know that's certainly a guy. He hasn't been a part of this TNA WWE mashup as of yet. He's kind of been held out of it. I could see a Dolph Ziggler. Who's the match right now? We have two mystery opponents, right? We have one for SmackDown against the Miz, I want to say.
Solo Sikoa,
that's right. To me, that's the Joe Hendry one. If Joe Hendry is going to come out in this tournament, although we still have four men yet to be announced for the tournament, so there's still room for a Joe Hendry or something like that. But the MSG mystery man, Adam Pearce's mystery guy, I'm going to say, is that Matt Cardona? Because it's in New York. I mean, if you were going to do Matt Cardona,
Long
why
Island.
Wouldn't you do it in New York?
No, I think
who's
that's
the mystery
the
man's
favorite.
Opponent? Who's the mystery man's opponent for Monday?
For Monday, it is.
Let's do.
Trying to think. I know that there's one for Solo, so that's probably Hendry.
Let's see. Opponent. AI are not doing enough for me right now. Because Gunther is going up against Javon. Gunther is going to absolutely destroy Javon Evans.
Okay.
Time Is Now tournament. I don't know why I'm blanking on this right now. It's John Cena's final Raw. They announced, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Solo Sikoa.
Solo is the SmackDown one.
No, that's the Raw one. Solo Sikoa is the
one?
Raw.
Okay.
Yeah. So I could see Matt Cardona coming in and possibly maybe there's a schmoz with the MFTs and whatnot. Maybe Matt Cardona actually wins that match. But I could see Matt Cardona coming in and getting squashed by Solo Sikoa. And then Joe Hendry, because it's The Miz and Jey Uso, right, on SmackDown. And then it's... Who is potentially Joe Hendry going to wrestle? Who is the SmackDown match? WWE SmackDown.
It's
preview.
Not worth it. I don't.
I'm. Oh, I'm. It's not worth it to you. LA Knight. Yeah, LA Knight. So that could be the Joe Hendry. Or maybe Joe Hendry might be held off a little bit. Maybe Joe Hendry won't be in it at all.
That
LA Knight
sounds
is there.
Like the Matt Cardona one.
Maybe. I mean, okay, so he's going to show up at some point. I think we're both in agreement that Matt Cardona is getting in this tournament at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
LA Knight versus Dolph Ziggler, though, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either.
No.
No. All this to say is the Last Time Is Now tournament, it has some intrigue to it. We had some pretty good matches on Monday's Raw, and Sheamus continues to have his banger after banger after banger. He beats Shinsuke Nakamura, and then Rusev also won his match against Damian Priest. So those two men go on. No word yet on those two if they will face each other, if that's the next match, Sheamus versus Rusev, but I can see that happening. So we'll see. We'll see who gets down to the end of the line.
Oh, we got to have Sheamus versus Gunther.
Sure.
That's the hose me match I want. The two hosses just beating the crap out of each other. Although Rusev, a third one or another one on that, yeah, that'd be okay, I guess.
It'd be okay, I guess. And if you add the fact that it's to move on in the John Cena tournament, maybe that's your catch to get that one going again. Right. We had Chris Jericho made news this week for a couple of interesting comments that many people took to compare and take a shot at AEW, take a shot at All in Texas. He was really just kind of complimenting TNA and TNA Bound for Glory about how impressive Bound for Glory looked. And in something that probably didn't have to be done, he did make a comparison between that event and AEW's run inside the ECW arena, comparing how great Bound for Glory looked specifically against the ECW arena shows. Many people took it to kind of be a shot at All In and some of the bigger AEW events, though, which does not seem to be what he was doing one bit. Anything on your part on the Chris Jericho comments? And are we literally just, what, 2 months away from seeing Chris Jericho's big return in Saudi Arabia at the Royal Rumble?
I think he was fluffing his guests, who are both TNA. I think the one that got everybody was, Bound for Glory looked like they made it look like it was the number two wrestling promotion in the country.
Yes.
And that's what got people's hackles up about Jericho. I think this is just a negotiating thing. I think number one, he knew that this comment would get out there, but I think he just wants AEW to up their offer a little bit. That's all. And I think that's what he wants. I do think he ends up for one last run in WWE. Don't get me wrong, but I think this is just, hey, you know what? I'm going to say nice things and maybe think that AEW goes, oh, no. We want to make you happy. We'll get through a little bit more money. But I didn't view this as anything real. Let's
put it
that way.
It's negotiation.
Yes.
I am fully under the belief that Chris Jericho knows exactly when his WWE start date is.
Oh, okay. So you think he's already under contract?
I think it's done. Not necessarily under contract. Can't be under contract yet. I think he knows exactly when his start date is.
And that he's not negotiating at all. And that
The negotiation is done.
Okay.
And that might be on both sides too. I don't know really how much AEW wanted to keep Chris Jericho around, because I think moving on from him was best for AEW, honestly.
And for him.
And probably for him too. Give yourself 3 months to kind of just get in the best shape of your life again for WWE. Come out as a big surprise at the Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble. And then possibly get a potential big match at WrestleMania. Maybe now with Seth Rollins hurt, maybe Chris Jericho's going to angle for that CM Punk title match. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Shoot for the moon
out there at
WrestleMania. But yeah. I think it's pretty much a done deal that he's going back. Now, if he shows up at AEW in January, we'll see. But I think it's a done deal. And I thought the comments were a little overblown. It was a little unnecessary for him to kind of say the second best promotion in the world or biggest promotion in the world deal. But a little bit.
You think it's a little bit of a Eddie Haskell move, so to speak, where he's just kind of, you know,
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you look very good today, Mrs. It's
from you look Lee great. Beaver.
Yeah.
You look great. Especially since, All in Texas did 24,000 people. Bound for Glory did a little under 8,000 people. No one's trying to confuse the two there. Let's go into the actual blood and guts matches from AEW TV this week. Again, there wasn't really anything to be won from these matches. Let's start with the men's blood and guts. Jon Moxley taps out. He quits on his team when he was not even the last member to enter for the John Moxley Death Riders. That was Pac. I think if there was anything coming out of this, this is the official start to the breakup of the Death Riders and potentially a power struggle at the top of the group between Pac and John Moxley.
Yeah, I think Pac is going to take over this, and he may kick out Wheeler Yuta along with Moxley. I think that's what it feels like, especially with Garcia joining in.
Who, by the way, Daniel Garcia comes in this match, and this is where we talked a little bit about it last week, about how no one's really more over now than when they debuted in AEW. Like, nobody. Everyone's gotten worse. Daniel Garcia is in a cave by himself under the cliffs. This guy was at one point getting pops just for coming out, doing his dance, was getting TNT title matches, and was, you know, kind of a big pillar of the television show. And now he's like a guy I forgot he was in this match, and no one cared at all.
He's the only one who also didn't really have that big of a spot in this match too, which is very, very interesting.
Threw some punches and kicks, and the opening spot, which was the double with OC, and I forget who the other man was, but he had a couple of good moments when he first came in, as everyone does. And then that's about it. But I didn't want to derail you on your John Moxley and the big point about Death Riders. I could not believe when he came in. It was like, oh my God, this guy, how far he has fallen. I might say he's probably the worst off of anyone.
Yeah, but Pac is showing himself to be kind of an alpha male in this thing. I liked this Dynamite, but it was because of the women's match, the Falls Count Anywhere, and the FTR thing. My God, these men's blood and guts, when Moxley is involved, it has to be Combat Zone Wrestling Cage of Death level excessiveness. And we're going outside of the cage. We're doing everything we always do in every no DQ match anyways in AEW, which also doesn't make it special when you do it in a blood and guts format. But there was a point where I'm watching this, and this is when like the match beyond quote unquote starts, where it's like, okay, we have the shattered glass, we have the barbed wire, we have chairs on top of the roof, we have two flaming tables, and Pac throwing Darby off the thing. And everybody's going to come out fine from this for the most part. And you're just like, why are we having this excessiveness? But it nailed the story. It nailed the ending. It nailed that Moxley was supposed to tap. I wouldn't have done the Mark Briscoe gets injured and it mixes up the thing, because it made people think that there was going to be a special guest coming out, and it wasn't. It was the Willis Reed act from Briscoe. But at some point, the weapons and stuff just got to be ridiculous. I also wouldn't have had Kyle O'Reilly get the tap. I would have had Roddy be the hero of this, because it was always, you know, somebody else, maybe even Mark Briscoe, but not Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly was the one they were hinting at to be injured. I mean, and they never played that up either. He should have been the one.
I would agree that not Kyle O'Reilly. I would say the only one of any significance. Now you could say, oh well, it's war games, it's blood and guts. Like, maybe a Mark Briscoe might come out of this bigger. Maybe Kyle O'Reilly now with this win might go into the title picture against Kyle Fletcher or something like that. We just had a battle of the Kyles not too long ago. I don't see anyone in this match doing anything of significance in the future except for Orange Cassidy. So why not just have Orange Cassidy win it? Especially if you're just going to give it to Kyle O'Reilly. There's a lot of members of this team that are kind of there for filler. This match was kind of there for filler. Darby Allin, I guess you could say, probably could have gotten the win there as the one to get the actual fall. But I feel like story fine. You know, they got their revenge against the Death Riders, who have been making their lives hell for the last 2 years. Now the Death Riders can go on their way as they fight internally, and we can see what happens here with Darby, OC, and the rest of the band of merry men, really.
I loved the women's match. I know that's going to sound weird to you, but there's something, and I've been bringing this up for now about a year and a half while you were on vacation. The hardcore women's matches in AEW are an actual struggle for life and death. And that's what makes them fun for me at times.
Like a legit struggle of life and death.
Yes. And it's kind of fun to watch that. We were having a nice discussion amongst a few friends of mine as to how this changed, because Miro wasn't supposed to originally be in the match. So would the ending probably have been involving Stat and Willow, or Stat and Harley doing the same thing? But there were spots in this match I absolutely adored. Like, I adored the dumb champagne sip from Mercedes before she went into Button Guts. I thought this is the best Marina Shafir has ever looked in AEW.
Sure.
With the judo throws and whatnot. I liked the Harley puppet brass knuckle spot, but I thought the puppet needed to have felt blood on it before they
okay.
off. But everybody, like, Sky Blue is killing herself to live in this match. I mean, she gigged herself way too deep, and then she had that series with the table where that table just would not break for her, and she's just like, F this, I'm not doing a third spot on this table. But everybody is just killing themselves in this match, and like this is Tekla's world, and we're just living it, because she was great in it, I thought. There's way too much blading for my level, but everybody in this match just seemed badass at one point.
Yeah, no, I think it was fun. Even Harley Cameron. I mean, Harley going toe to toe, making the sock puppet not look. It looked badass too. Like that moment was something the crowd was actually looking forward to going up against Mercedes Moné. So no, the match was fine. There was a lot of blood. Sky Blue, my God,
too much blood. Almost
this match was grosser. This match was grosser than the men's match, which I can't believe. Talk about Jon Moxley coming in. The first thing he does is just start stabbing people with pens or ice picks or whatever the hell it was. I'm kind of over Jon Moxley coming into the ring and stabbing people. I could do no more of that for the life of me. I hope whatever internal struggle that Jon Moxley goes on with Pac and the Death Riders crew eventually leads to him being a good guy again and getting back in some type of world title picture. Because I think there's still meat on the bone with MJF and Jon Moxley, with Jon Moxley being someone you could actually cheer for. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, the women's match, it was good TV. I think the crowd liked it. I think they liked it more than the men's match.
Yes.
And may have even been able to go on last with knowing what we know now, except for obviously the heels winning. But Toni Storm saving Mina Shirakawa from death.
Yeah, and it'll play into the tag team tournament, which is fine. I think it was originally supposed to be within the world title tournament, which is why I asked the people that are there. But no, it'll give entry, because eventually it'll be the Sisters of Sin and these two in the finals probably. But here's the question I had coming out of this, and this ties into WWE. We know the women are competitive in WWE. They like to steal the show. They like to be the talk of the town, if you will, after these events and things like that. Do you think they had an eye on this match and are pitching ideas? Or do you think it's just, we're going to do it the WWE way? And no, Charlotte, you can't bleed in the match. I don't think they're pitching blood necessarily.
No.
Don't get me wrong. They're not pitching blood.
No, I think most of them in that match are probably like, well, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, we're not going to do that, right? Well, we're not doing that. I don't think they're trying to compete against the AEW Blood and Guts match, because at the end of the day, a very small number of people saw the AEW Women's Blood and Guts match versus who watches WWE TV regularly. So I don't think they're trying to go for that. Maybe they watched for a couple of ideas and we'll see some integrated into the match that aren't violence related, potentially. So yeah. But I don't think you're going to see too much, and I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't even watch it at all, to be honest, because they didn't want to. So you know how certain radio hosts and TV writers and all that, they won't watch anyone else's work because they don't want that work to bleed into their own, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think they're kind of not knowing many of them in this match. I could kind of see that, where it's just like, no, we want to go in with our fresh slate, toss the ideas to the producers. The producers maybe watched it.
Yeah. You know? We have our thing. We're going to do our way. It's going to be more entertaining than that. It's going to be without the blood and stuff. That's I believe.
It's going to be different, and don't reference it at all. Right. And because at the end of the day, that was a Dynamite opener versus we're going to go out there and main event Survivor Series. So.
Right. And Io's going to do her thing and jump off the cage with a trash can on herself.
But I definitely for the job think that the producers probably watch that match to either integrate or make sure certain things don't get into the match there too. So we are a week away from AEW Full Gear, and right now we have Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Moné for the AEW Women's World title. This is Mercedes going out there to add a belt to her collection. This match is not for the TBS championship. It is just for the AEW Women's Championship. So could Mercedes finally be that, that multiple belt holder in the women's division of AEW. She already has the multi belts from outside of the company, right? Could she own both of the main singles titles in AEW? We have Hangman Page versus Samoa Joe for the AEW world title. Next week on Dynamite, we're going to have Adam Page trying to go through the entire ops team as he goes against Shibata. So that was added for Wednesday. We have Brodito.
They also added a stipulation to this match, too. It's now in a cage.
It is a steel cage match. So I would imagine that's going to be your main event of the show of Full Gear. Brodito versus FTR. So talked in the opener or gave you this option. Ric Flair not appearing on AEW Dynamite, although he did appear in front of the crowd. It sounds like he was just too hurt to be able to do anything physical, and they didn't want to risk it, him being in the ring on television. So he just did a quick little speech from the top of the ramp. But Ricky Steamboat was involved, and we have Brodito versus FTR for the tag team titles going at Full Gear.
Question. Do you think he really had the injury, or do you think cooler heads prevailed and Tony goes, I'm not taking him out there just in case he might get booed?
I mean, potentially, but yeah, I don't know. Whatever it was, he wasn't trusted to be on TV.
He wasn't going to be on the TV. Well, Dave Meltzer was reporting it was due to a torn rotator cuff, or at least Flair was saying it was a torn rotator cuff that he had injured.
And at that point, with his age, I mean, there are certain things that he's just going to live with, and he's not going to. So he's going to have to suffer through the pain. He's not going to get surgery for.
Yeah. You know? Steamboat, I think there may have been a pre-show cocktail party. But
could have been.
It was some of Steamboat's best work on the microphone that I've ever seen, too, because he's never been a great promo.
No.
And he seemed into this, at least. So it was fun to see the angle. I enjoyed it. Does Brodito finally break up here?
I don't know if they break up because I don't really know what the benefit of a Bandito versus Brody King. Maybe they just go their separate ways, because I do see FTR winning the tag team titles here. I think the road throughout the winter is FTR is the tag champs to eventually get back that Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, Young Bucks match at some point at one of the big pay-per-views to start the year. So I see FTR winning, beating a lot of the jobber tag teams as they go around, and then the Young Bucks eventually be their main nemesis. I could also see Jurassic Express being one of those potential nemeses for FTR before the Young Bucks finally get their chance too. But I see FTR winning. I'm not sold on what Brodito and Brody might do after that.
Okay.
I don't think the end game is for them to be a tag team, though, so I could very well see them going their separate ways.
It felt like that Macarena story was going to lead to...
Well, I could also see the loser, say FTR does win, maybe this match goes on early. I could see Brodito and Brody both being in the Casino Gauntlet for the national championship, too.
There you go.
That is the other match, the Casino Gauntlet for the AEW National Championship. We talked about this last week. Go back and listen to our thoughts on AEW adding more championships to the show. And then Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. This is a no DQ match for the TNT title. So if we talked about earlier, like, why is Kyle O'Reilly getting the win here when Mark Briscoe probably could have been that one? I don't think they were really, as crazy as this sounds to say, like, oh, who should win? Let's really think about who gets the fall. I think Kyle O'Reilly's moveset just made the most sense to submit John Moxley. Like, of all the people, like, just put Kyle O'Reilly out there to do the ankle lock and the knee twist. So that is the TNT championship match, Kyle Fletcher, Mark Briscoe. And then, of course, a main event in any armory across the country. We have Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander for $1 million.
Yeah, everybody's going to get their Kenny and the Bucks reunion. It'll be a happy time. Hooray.
Yeah. Oh, you think the reunion happens right now, huh?
Yeah, I do. After the match.
You see them battling it out, and then the Don Callis family maybe gets involved either before or after, probably after, right? Like, you just won $1 million, Young Bucks, we want you in this, and then the beatdown ensues, and we have a face turn.
Yeah, or like the Don Callis tries to take the bag of the $1 million away, saying that that's now the family's money and not theirs. And then
And I will apologize to Tony Khan on all this money match bullshit if that's what we actually see, where Don Callis takes the money from the Young Bucks. It's like the names on the name on the card, the contract was Don Callis family. It was not Young Bucks and Josh Alexander. Right, so the Don right. Callis family win this $1 million. And then it's Kenny Omega and the Jacksons going up against the Don Callis family, taking them out one by one, which could take 2 years because there's so many members of this Don Callis family. And you got to figure Kenny Omega is going against the family still, because the whole idea was supposed to be Andrade going after Kenny Omega before Andrade got taken out. So we'll probably still see some stuff there going on, but that is your AEW Full Gear. We'll probably do a full match-by-match preview next week, potentially getting some more participants in the Casino Gauntlet, or maybe we will ignore it next week.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.